T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, you at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yet to be on TikTok. TikTok had a big weekend at the All-Star Game. Is it over yet? Or is it still a thing? I don't have any interest in watching middle-aged schoolgirls dance, so I'm not on it.
I thought you meant, is the All-Star Game hype over? Or is TikTok done? TikTok was even on the scoreboard. TikTok.
The TikTok girls were part of the slam dunk contest. TikTok is everywhere. If you don't know what it is, stay oblivious. Don't do it. It's Chuck and Winkler again on The Fan. David Stearns, assuming he's not on TikTok, he will join us 7:10. He will be on this program, Brewers general manager, in about 8-9 minutes. And we'll talk to Bucks GM John Horst around 8:45, general manager day here on Chuck and Winkler. Ken in West Bend, you're the general manager of something, I assume. What's up, Beer Count Kenny?
Hi, Ken.
Well, hi, guys. How are you this morning?
All right.
Oh, Ken, what's up?
I find it insulting as a fan of the Brewers that Stearns. I love Stearns, by the way. He does an awesome job with this team and what he's done. But I find it insulting when owners, in particular like Antanasio, gets up there and goes, "We're operating in the red, and we have been." It's such a crock. And I'll tell you why. He's getting paid. I'd love to see what his salary is, how many of his family members he has on the payroll. In addition, Mr. Stearns is getting paid. The players are getting paid. The concession people are getting paid. Oh, yeah, and by the way, there's been a tax handling the maintenance on the stadium by the 5-county area for 2 decades, and I could go on and on. So to get up there and make these statements that we're operating in the red, it's insulting the fans.
What did you want him to say, Kenny?
He would be better off him saying nothing.
Well, I agree. That's why I don't want to hear my owner talking about how much money he's making or how little he's making, or, you know, if he's not making anything.
It's a well-known fact that these owners of these teams, whether it's in football, basketball, baseball, they're making a fortune. In fact, many of them, if not all of them, have come right out and said, you don't lose money owning a franchise. They're making money.
Well, I don't know if he's putting his kids on the payroll. That's
I'm using suggestive examples of
and these
of
people that work the concession stands
in the past.
They're not making any money, and a lot of times they're volunteers.
Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that the people at the concession stands aren't making any money?
No, a lot of times they're volunteer groups doing it for charity.
It's like somebody, it's somebody like from a church.
You think the fat cat jobs in this town are Brewers concessions?
No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that people that have concessions, as an example, you think TGI Fridays is losing money?
Well, no, Brewers kicked them out.
Yeah, well, who's taking over that spot?
The Brewers.
Yeah. And guess what they're going to do? Do you think a bunch of volunteers are going to go in there and work? Absolutely not.
But they're creating jobs, though. They are creating jobs for people.
But that's my point.
Are you anti-capitalism, Ken?
No, absolutely not. Just the opposite. But my point is that I find it hilarious when you get up there and they make these statements. It's like, just don't make these statements. I mean, I find it's just so silly to hear something like that. Oh, we're operating in the red. I guarantee you that if you were to get a chance to sit down with Antanasio and somebody were to actually get to see their books, you'd be shocked at what people are actually making in that organization, in particular the owner. So I'm not buying into this. We're operating in the red per se. Yeah, maybe on paper they're showing that they're operating in the red. Maybe from a tax break standpoint, they're showing from that avenue that they're able to show that they're operating in the red for those purposes. But the fact of the matter is that when you've got 2.9 million people on average that are coming through your turnstiles on an annual basis, you're making money. And you're not losing money, so I'm just not buying into it. That's just my position on it. And I love what Stearns has done with this team to generate that and counsel how he's managing the team, how Stearns is bringing the players in, and how they're able to get this team and build the excitement that this city hasn't seen in decades with a baseball team. So from the standpoint of a financial aspect, no, I don't believe they're losing money like he claims.
But there have been franchises that have gone bankrupt. The Dodgers filed for bankruptcy. Remember the whole thing with the McCourts back in the, the mid-2000s there? They filed for the Dodgers of all teams filed for bankruptcy. They were in bankruptcy court for the Dodgers.
Yeah, but I used to think as a kid, and again, I grew up paying attention to sports and looking at the back of baseball cards. I did not study business and finance. I did not think I would need to talk about sports for a living. I used to think bankruptcy was like, you throwing your hands up, thanks, Ken, and saying, "That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm broke and I'm screwed." Like in Monopoly, you're bankrupt. You're done. The game's over. Your life's over. You're done. But the more I learn about bankruptcy, oh, geez, I'm bankrupt. AKA, let's restructure some stuff, and then these businesses always go into bankruptcy, and then they always like come out ahead. I don't know how any of this works.
If you're personal, you'd be able to file for bankruptcy.
You want to tell me the Dodgers were bankrupt? Look at the Dodgers now!
Yeah. if you wanted to file for bankruptcy, let's say you had a bunch of credit card debt, you'd file for bankruptcy, and you could have $80,000 of credit card debt, and it'd all be forgiven. I think those days are done, where you just,
that seems like a racket.
It does, because people would rack up money on their credit card and all that, and but bankruptcy, it's all forgiven. Well, you you're not going to be able to buy a house anytime soon, but you're relieved your $80,000 of credit card debt. You bought all this stuff, so. But there's been rich people who have filed for bankruptcy, guys who you thought had a lot of money, and there's been sports franchises like the Dodgers I just mentioned there. So we don't. If he's in the red, somebody asked him the question. He didn't just offer Adonasio the other day. But he wasted no time. When someone asked him, "Hey, did you lose money last year?" His response was quick.
I mean, he's like Tim out there with his crutch and his...
It's like he was waiting for somebody to ask him
dirty socks. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. So what's going on with the Brewers books? That's up for Mark Antanasio to decide. But what we know is that it seems like there have been some limitations financially for what the Brewers can do on the field. And it's David Stern's job to build a roster with all of this. So we will talk to Brewers general manager David Stearns about this offseason, the team that they've tried to put together, and if it does get tiresome to talk about numbers and finances all the time. I mean, that is his job, but at some point you're trying to build a winner. How much does the budget restrict you from doing that? Brewers general manager David Stearns, 90 seconds. He'll join us next on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler.
When you look at a woman on TV and you say you don't think about her looks and you feel, when you do look at her looks, you feel dirty, I think you're in a minority. It's just human nature.
When I feel dirty is when we discuss it out loud with other ugly-looking dudes. None of us on The Fan are good-looking. I know you think you are.
I don't know.
Weekday morning 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, a radio.com sports station.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. David Stearns, general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. David Stearns, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Thanks, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to talk to you as we're ready to kick off the season here. You know, we're kind of like this. We've been used to winning here the last three seasons, playoffs the last 2 years. But I think we're a little skeptical because we're a little worried that there was so much turnover going into the season. So much player turnover, 14, 15 new guys. Did you expect this when last season ended that you'd be turning the roster over as much as you've done so far?
Well, I'll tell you, we like winning too, and we like competing, and certainly that's our expectation as an organization, is to compete year in and year out for division championships and playoff appearances, and we've been able to do that over the last 3 years. Certainly our belief is that we're going to be able to do that again this year. There has been significant roster turnover, and candidly, we have a lot of turnover most off seasons. We have a lot of turnover during the season often, where we're sending players back and forth to AAA. We generally are a pretty transactional organization, and we make trades during the season. So our coaching staff has proven that they're exceptionally capable of getting a team to gel, of continuing the positive culture that we've had here in the past, and we believe we'll be able to do that again.
We have such a passionate fan base, and I'm, you know, we're wrapped up in it. You know, Chuck and I work in the media. We're not going to pretend like we don't root for the, we care a lot about how the Brewers do. It affects us quite a bit, and we take calls, and, you know, we kind of fan the flames ourselves. And I think the concern that there is with the makeup of this team from now to a year ago, we always come back to the payroll, that Mike Moustakas was here and Grandal was here, and then these guys depart, and now you've got these guys that, if they have a good season, they can maybe make up for that. And I think the consensus has been, like, it feels like the Brewers have gone forward, and this year almost feels like a step back based on the payroll alone. Why is this year not going to be a step back?
We believe we have a really talented roster, and certainly we've lost some players from last year. But as I've said, we generally have some roster turnover, and the key for us is when we make investments, significant investments, especially in the free agent market, they have to be really wise investments. We can't chase the market. We can't chase players, regardless of how much they may have contributed to our team in any single given year. And certainly you mentioned guys like Rondall and Moustakas. Those guys gave a lot to our organization. They were a big part of our team last year. We also recognize that we're not always going to be able to keep those types of players here, and that's something that this franchise, even before I got here, has dealt with very well. And we've been able to regenerate talent within the organization. We've been able to make some free agent signings that we think are going to help continue the string of competitiveness that we've had here. But certainly I recognize that we had a couple of really good players who walked out the door and went to other teams. I certainly don't ignore that. And so it's then my job to put the best team we can together that then our opinion allows us to achieve our ultimate goal, which is continued and sustained success.
Talking with Brewers general manager David Stearns, I mean, just doing the radio show, whether it's baseball or football or basketball, it's always somehow we're always talking a lot more about money than I ever thought we would in doing a sports show. When you guys are trying to find the best fit for this team, you have to look at the multi-year deals. You have to look at the single-year deals. You have to look at who's going to be a fit. How much does the financial aspect impact each and every decision? Is it more than you'd like it to be? Is it less? Obviously, it does play a role into what you guys do just by the nature of the sport. It just, if we're frustrated with it, I would think that you guys in the front office have to be a little bit too.
No, I don't think there's frustration. I think there's a recognition that regardless of what business you're running, whether it's within sports or outside of sports, there are going to be budgets and there are going to be financial capabilities. And so it's our job to operate within those financial capabilities. And our ownership group has been incredibly supportive. Whenever we've gone to them with what we think is a really wise investment opportunity, we did that a year ago with Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas, and signings that far exceeded what our original budget was slated to be, and our ownership group was very supportive. As we looked throughout the free agent landscape this year, those type of big name signings really didn't materialize for us this year. So we were able to spread some of those resources around, gather up a number of major league free agents who we think are going to be able to impact the team, and we're very optimistic going into this season because of that work that we've been able to do in the offseason.
David, it seems like there's a lot of positions where, at least going into the season,
platoon. You look at third base, first base, and a few other spots, too, that you don't have really a set lineup, I think, going into the season.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. I think there are probably more positions this year that will be some form of timeshares based on matchup. Some of those will evolve over the course of the year as we get to know how players are playing, as we evaluate performance. But you're right, there's probably not quite as a stable lineup every single day that maybe we went into last year with. And that's okay. We won 96 games a couple of years ago with lineups that were matched up very regularly based on who was pitching for the opposing team, who we were playing, health of guys, how particular players were performing. And we were able to put together a really competitive club that had a really special year. So I believe we have certainly the capability to mix and match like that. I think we've got a really deep team. And so in those positions where there might be more of a split duty, might be more of a timeshare, I think we're equipped to handle that.
You know, you said during the winter there wasn't any pieces out there through free agency that you thought, you know, economically fit what you guys want to do, your plan. But since you guys are under budget right now, it looks like, compared to what it was, you know, in years gone by, if you guys just – can you take the attitude, hey, if we hang in the race, we're in the race. When comes July, we can go out there and – if we have to take on some salary, we're able to do it because we didn't spend it off in the offseason. In fact, we slashed our payroll.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns at all about if we're competitive in July and looking to add, that we're going to have the space to do it. I think that's something that our ownership group has been tremendously supportive with since I've been here. It's something that Mark and I have talked about specifically about this season, where there may be some acquisition opportunities mid-season. And so, yes, I think we will have the room when and if an appealing buying opportunity comes around this season.
When there was so much changeover on the team, did Mark, who, you know, he obviously has got full confidence in you, and I know when he first came aboard, you made a lot of changes, and Mark had to kind of hold his breath at first because he wasn't used to that. Does he, when you made all these changes in the offseason, did he, like, look at it and say, oh, boy, what are we doing here?
No, I think Mark understands our process, and we're in regular communication. He understands how we're running the organization. He understands our baseball operations goals, and he trusts us. And so I think Mark recognized what our off-season strategy was, understood how we evaluate potential free agent signings, how we were going to operate within certain parameters, and he's been very supportive throughout.
Brewers GM David Stearns joining us, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. We know what happened with some of the pitchers this last week. Josh Hader in the arbitration case does not get the target he was looking for. You guys avoid arbitration with Brent Suter. That is a uniquely baseball issue. Craig Counsell, a little outspoken, not a big fan of the process. Is it time for baseball to look elsewhere, or is that the best process that you can have in this sport in determining how these guys are supposed to get a pay bump each and every year?
You know, it's a really interesting part of our game in that I think everyone involved agrees it's not a good process, and that's been the case for as long as I've been in the industry. I don't think anyone likes the arbitration process on the club side, on the player side, management side, union side. But for whatever reason, it still exists, and the two sides haven't been able to come together to figure out an appropriate substitute. We've been pretty successful at garnering settlements here since I've been here. We've had somewhere around 50 or so arbitration eligible players over my time here, and we've only gone to two hearings, so that's a pretty good success rate at settlements. And on occasion, and we found one this year with Josh, where you just can't line up. And then the process is designed to actually go through and go to an arbitration hearing. But, you know, from your question, is this something that everyone thinks works? No, I think everyone understands on both sides that this isn't a great process. Unfortunately, there just hasn't come up with a better solution.
So basically, it is like every other job in America. Yeah. There's something that nobody likes, but they all kind of still keep doing it.
The farm system, do you look at it like, I mean, you had one of the top farm systems in baseball a few years ago, but obviously some of these guys are on the team. You traded some of those away to get parts to help, you know, get to the postseason a few years. So, you know, I get that. What is the process? What's the state of the farm system as you going forward here? Because a lot of those great pieces, as I mentioned, are gone.
Yeah, I think. Look, we made some big trades. We traded four of our top six or eight prospects in what at that point was the top ranked farm system in all of baseball. We traded four of those guys for Christian Yelich. That was a big bet on Christian Yelich, and Christian has clearly repaid us for that level of prospect investment in him. Elsewhere, we've made trades in season. And as you mentioned, we've had a number of players graduate to the major leagues and make very substantial impacts, whether that's a Brandon Woodruff, a Keston Hira, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser, guys who composed what had been ranked as a very, very high system are now helping us at the major league level. We still think we've got a very quality system, a system with a lot of depth, a system that's pretty young, and so you'll see a number of these younger players begin to work their way through our system and ultimately approach the major leagues. But we understand we're not at the same level in terms of overall system depth and talent as we may have been 3 or 4 years ago. But we're a much better major league team, and we've got a couple of playoff appearances and really competitive seasons to show for it. So we'll certainly take that trade-off while understanding that it's now our obligation to continue to restock the farm system and have that consistent pipeline help us produce at the major league level.
David Stearns on Chuck and Winkler. You know, we talk about, you know, how's this guy and this money and this system. You're the general manager of this ball club. You oversee all these different teams. And I would think the hardest part of that is the human part of it. Like, you know, you see these guys running around the clubhouse with their kids. I forget who it was, but I just saw a video of one of the guys was like changing his kid's diaper on the batting cage the other day. And there's guys that, you know, go through struggles like we saw with Travis Shaw. But you really, you know, you want to root for these guys and you want to give them every opportunity that you can. How, without having to go, you know, to a therapist, I guess, it would wreck me. How do you compartmentalize that where you have a business to run, but then you get to know these guys and their families? I would just think that would be the hardest part of the whole thing.
Well, I think the human part of it is important. And I think one of the reasons we've had some success here is because we recognize the human aspect. We recognize some of the stresses and challenges that players have, and we try to help them work through that. And so when you see a player struggle, a player that you've gotten to know very well, a player, like you said, you see their kids, you know their families. We try to help them work through their struggles. We try to stay loyal to our players. At the same time, certainly we have an obligation to the organization and frankly to our fan base to make the best baseball decision possible. But we recognize there are balances there, and we recognize that these are human beings and they're working really hard and they care an awful lot. And so from purely a matter of respect, we owe it to them to care equally about them.
It's been an interesting time. Last one for you, David Stearns, Brewers general manager. I mean, everything that's gone on in this offseason has been centered around a team that you're familiar with in the Astros. So, and now it's come out, at least the commissioner has hinted that while these players aren't going to receive any penalty, if you like hit one of the guys as a pitcher, you could get in trouble. Oh, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I mean, this whole off season, I don't think that it's been handled as well as it could have been handled, David. And I don't know what your thoughts are on the whole situation and seeing guys, you know, go through this.
Sure. Look, I think first and foremost, my thoughts are, this isn't good for the game. And we need to focus on the players. We need to focus on the competition that's going on the field. And at any time when there is any hint that the integrity of that competition has been compromised, as clearly it was in this case, that's a major problem for the sport, and it's a major problem for the industry, and it's something that collectively we need to address to fix and to make sure it never happens again. So that's really where my mind has been, is this is not good for the game. It's not good for the sport. I think we all, in these positions, try to be custodians for the sport at large. And in this case, we need to figure out a way to make sure that the attention gets back on fair, regulated, and competition with integrity.
Brewers General Manager David Stearns,
best of luck to you as we're all trying to see the same thing here. A World Series title, a parade down Wisconsin Avenue, and we would love to see you guys do that. Appreciate it, and we hope to talk again soon.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
David Stearns joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Brewers general manager. If you missed it, we'll have that for you in full on demand, 1057fmthefan.com, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. So talking with David here and hearing the comments from Mark earlier in the week, here's what I've come to deduce. Mark Attanasio lucked out with David Stearns because he's got a general manager that allows him to, let's just say again, be cheap or to come out and say, hey, I'm in the red here. David Stearns, and I've yelled at you guys for supporting him blindly, but he has done a good job overall finding pieces that fit. When I look at this offseason, the Ryan Healy deals, the Brock Holt this week, you know, what they need to do, and this is what we asked them, they need all these guys, I think, to hit for them to be a World Series team. If Brock Holt is a career year, if Brett Anderson is a career year, if these guys have a career year, they could be good. If Jordan Lyles gets traded and Drew Pomeranz has a career second half, the Brewers can make the playoffs. And Mark has seen David with these limitations do just that. So Mark maybe feels more empowered this week. I don't have to give him money. I don't have to spend money because he can do it. So what this season is, it's Mark Attanasio betting on David Stearns once again with less resources than ever. Yeah, David Stearns can do it if you give him a $125 million payroll. Can he do it with a $90 million payroll? Mark Attanasio is betting that he can. And so it's on David Stearns to do it for Mark.
So whether it's Stearns or Doug Melvin, you basically, when you are the GM of the Milwaukee Brewers, you have one arm tied behind your back because you don't have... Now, if he went to the Yankees, he went to the Red Sox, you know, maybe the Cubs, depending on how they're spending their money, you have a little bit more resources, you have more money to spend, so you can go out and get a John Lester and a guy like that. Or, you know, if you're in Philadelphia, you can go out and sign a Jake Arrieta for 3 years at $75 million. But unfortunately, the Brewers can't, and if they do spend some money, like they did on Kyle Loesch and Matt Garza, well, you better be able to hit on that type of, which the Brewers haven't been able to hit on that type of player. They went out and got Yasmani Grandal, worked. Moustakas off the scrap heap, worked. And he cashed in with the Cincinnati Reds, and they never didn't want to pay him the $15 million a year. But yeah, this is a baseball problem, as I've been telling you, for years. It's a baseball problem, Bart. I just think until baseball corrects and gets everybody on an equal playing field like the NBA and the NFL, this will always be the role of the GM. Do what you can with the amount of payroll that I'm going to give you.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250 as we react to David Stearns chatting with us just a moment ago. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash, right.
Mark understands our process, and we're in regular communication. He understands how we're running the organization. He understands our baseball operations goals. And he trusts us. And so I think Mark recognized what our offseason strategy was, understood how we evaluate potential free agent signings, how we were going to operate within certain parameters, and he's been very supportive throughout.
Translation, quite frankly, I'm pretty good at this, and Mark's taking advantage of that because he knows that I can get these guys on the cheap. And is Eric Sogard really going to be good? Is Logan Morrison really going to be good? Probably not. I mean, I signed some of these guys that I don't even know who they are. But this is the budget that I'm afforded, so that's what I do. David Stearns joining us moments ago. Chuck and Winkler. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck Freeman on The Fan.
Yeah, when you look at the third base spot and you see, man, Eric Sogard is my potential starting third baseman on opening day. And at times, according to reports, he's going to be many times this year in the leadoff spot for the Brewers. Now, I know he had a career year last year, but when I got a 34-year-old journeyman with very little power, and he had 13 home runs for a career high last year, as potentially my leadoff guy when Kane's not in there, that's a problem. That doesn't scream pennant contender to me.
Here's what I've realized this week. No matter what we say, no matter what we scream, and when I say we, I mean all of us. I mean those of you that have been, you know, with me and not pro Brewers offseason or laughing every time a new signing comes in. And by the way, I'm a big Brock Holt guy. So I don't know if it's because of the Arrested Development Steve Holt reference or if it's because of the fact that he was eligible at every position in Yahoo Fantasy and I could plug and play him every day. But I do like Brock Holt. So what I've learned from the Brewers this week is they think that this is going to work because they've had 2 years where it has worked and they've made the playoffs. So they think, and at least publicly, what they're doing is going with the strategy, David Stearns, Mark Antanasio, Craig Counsell, the clubhouse, that we can win with about anybody. And Counsell says, we'll figure out who these guys are. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get to know some guys. But they think they can win with about anybody. Whether we think that's right or not, it's what the Brewers have decided to make as their statement. They have drawn their line in the sand, and now it's about results. Either this team figures it out and wins 85-plus games and gets into the playoffs, or they fall flat on their face, and the good luck and the goodwill will catch up with them, and we're going to find that out this season. So it is going to be a very, very interesting season for the Milwaukee Brewers because their whole way of doing things, I think, is at stake here.
But the Brewers haven't won doing this. They haven't won. When they've won.
Well, that's, I agree, but to them they have.
Yes, but I mean,
they've been successful to them.
But
if you want a World Series, they haven't, and that's where the line is drawn.
Two division titles.
You're telling like me three, that's not a success?
Three in the franchise history. Well, no. To them it is. Two in 15 years in a five-team division? No, that's not enough success. Two playoff series victories, that's not enough success. You know, the times they've won, though, they have not gone inexpensive in this way. In 2011, they had Zach Greinke. They had Gallardo on that team. They had Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun. You had some good players on that. 2011 was a good team. 2018 was a good team. On paper, at least, this team does not compare to either one of those teams. Those two teams that won division titles, 11 and 18, those were bona fide World Series contenders. But again, they didn't sustain success after that. 2012, they were back to being bad. 2019, they barely slid in the playoffs this past year and then got bounced in that first playoff game in that wild card game against Washington. So, I mean, if they get off to a bad start and if they're floundering around and they win 75 games this year, well, then it's like, okay, are we going to wait another 7 years before things just get in the right direction and everything comes together and you're able to go out and get some pieces? Because I don't want to be like winning a division title every 7 years. I want to be involved in the mix every year. And if there's a couple of years you fail, okay. But I don't want to be floundering for the next 4 or 5 years and then 2026, they're back to being wild card contenders again. I mean, that's not fun. You know, the Brewers, after 2011, 2012 sucked, 2013 sucked. 2014 was good for about a half a year. 2015 sucked. 2016 sucked. And then 2017, they contended. And then the last 2 years, they've contended. But let's see. They've never been able to sustain success in their entire franchise except for the last couple of years.
414-799-1250. Aloha to KJ.
Mahalo. Magalulu. Shagaru.
Maloha.
Hey, KJ.
Aloha. Hey,
Mahalo.
Friend. Mahalo. Nui aloha.
Meli kalikimaka.
No. Not today, it is not.
That's true.
Too cold. Hey, welcome back, Bart. Listen, man, the more I listen to these guys talk, the more I realize it's just a business to them. They've really taken the sport aspect out of the game for me. I mean, you know, the thinking about, you know, the guys and who's on the team, and you can root for this guy. And, oh, this guy's coming back this year, and he's going to do, you know. What the Brewers seem to be doing is polishing turds, and then they're selling them as diamonds to us fans. That's what it seems like to me. You know, I have no idea who half these guys are on the team, yet, you know, they want us to go out and, I guess, according to a lot of people, spend more money for tickets for guys that are not even close to the quality of players that we have seen in the last few years. And I don't know if that model is going to work, but they, you know, these guys sound like politicians to me. The way they talk, they're so polished. They're so, you know, they know exactly what to say to you to, you know, get you to go, oh, okay, you know, I guess we can buy this again,
sure.
You know, and we'll go ahead and we'll pack the seats again this year, you know, and we'll see what happens.
But you're right about the faceless guys, man. I mean, because the last couple of years, KJ, we got to know who Moustakas was, and, you know, he got put faces. You see him at the plate, okay. I mean, even the average fan sees these guys, Lorenzo Cain. But if you look at some of the plays that, you know, I'm watching Kevin Holden do his report from spring training last night on the news, and it's like they show pictures of some of these guys around the positions. Like, who is this guy? I don't recognize that guy. Well, these are names are all going to got to get to the law because there's so much roster turnover. As you mentioned, most of these guys are faceless guys. We don't even know who these guys are.
Yeah, we have no clue who these guys are, Frames, at this point. But, you know, we're supposed to buy into this, and I guess a lot of people will. I'm still, like I said, I'm on the fence, man. I don't know what's going to take place. I'm going to sit back and watch and see. You know, if they're good, congratulations. I mean, David Stern should be Executive of the Year, GM of the Year for sure. If these guys are competing in July, and they're going to add to this roster and maybe put some names, some faces to the names, and some good players out there. Hey, more power to them.
Yeah,
guys, have a great show.
Thanks, KJ.
Mahalo, aloha, KJ.
Bart, if I were to ask you, how do you think this is going to end this year? I mean, given the fact that what Stearns is telling us, what the roster appears to be pretty much set. You know, they're maybe make a couple additions along the way. DFA, that's always going to happen. How do you think this is going to end? In a good way? Are we going to be looking at it and say, oh, you know, they, you know, cutting payroll and they still had success, or, you know, they cut payroll, they got rid of some guys, and it turned out to be a disaster?
Well, here's what they take advantage of. And I've noticed this week, because now that spring training is here, I have been looking more at this roster. And I've been very critical of the Brewers for seasons, but I am a fan, right? And so there is a part of me, and it right now it is in the back of my head, and I'm not letting it get to the front, but it's sitting there, and it's trying to knock, and it's telling me, hey, Bart, Brendan Woodruff's pretty good, and if Adrian Hauser, and I know you like Corbin Burns, and you see Freddy Peralta's got another pitch, and, you know, if a couple of those guys, and I say, shut up. No, they're not going to be a good team. They're not winning 80 games. I'm steadfast on that. And they say, well, they got a couple nice guys at first there, Ryan Braun and, you know, Avi Garcia in the outfield could be pretty good. And this Urias guy is not bad. And you like their bullpen, and Knievel's coming back. And I say, shut up, because the fan in me is going to always justify on behalf of the organization, because you want them to be good. And so I think the Brewers can take advantage of that. No matter how bad this roster might look on paper, or what baseball prospectus says of the 79 wins, we are always going to give them the fan bump of a few more wins. I don't think they make the playoffs with this team. I like the Central too much in terms of other teams to have success. I think too many people have just flat out quit on the Cubs, and it'd be very Cubs for them to have a good season. I think that people are really downplaying the Reds. They went and made all the moves I wanted to, and the whole baseball community is saying, well, it's not going to pay off. It is going to pay off. And the Cardinals, you can never count out the Cardinals. So I think that there will be moments. They will be more competitive at times than I'm willing to give them credit for, but I don't know. I'd still take the under 82-83 wins is where I've got this team. Now, best case scenario, this they think they've got a team that can go all the way, but everything has to hit. And 2 years ago, it almost did. This year, I don't see that happen.
There's so many ifs on this team, and you know, we don't even talk much about the starting rotation. You touched on it a little bit there, but you know, other than the guy at the tippy top of the rotation, Woodruff, are you expecting Hauser to win 15 games? I mean, because if you're going to be a 90-win team and be a legitimate postseason contender, you better have some victories in that starting rotation. Hader can't go out there and pitch every game, you know, from the fourth inning on. You're going to have some wins out of some of these other guys. So that starting rotation, other than Woodruff, man, there is huge question marks, 2 through 5. Huge question marks, 2 through 5. Yeah, you don't have Zach Davies this year, who, you know, say what you want about Zach Davies. I'd say he was always a steady pitcher, give you nice outings. You know, Chase, you know, same thing with Chase. Chase would give up a home run a little bit too much more for my liking, but he was still, I'd say, a pretty steady pitcher, you know, who could get you a 5 or 6 on a given day. But some of these other guys at this rotation this year, Bart, I don't know. And we're counting on Knebel. Who knows when he's going to come back, coming off the major surgery. Hader, you know, is going to be a constant. Some of those other guys in the bullpen, you don't know how good they're going to be this year. And this is just the pitching staff. There's so many ifs on this team. I'm just so concerned with the pitching staff right now, of whether or not we can get anything out of some of these guys. I would love to see Corbin Burns and Willie Peralta. Remember, they counted on those two at the start of the season last year. What's that?
You said Willie Peralta.
Oh, Willie Peralta. It's Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta. I'd love to have Willie back on this team, maybe. he might be able to give him some innings. But Freddie, he tried the rotation last year and was not very good. Corbin Burns gave too many home runs in this spot. So, you know, they're going to get a shot at it this year. But last year, you know, they went all in on those guys and failed. Failed miserably, and you couldn't even, and both had to have trips down to the minor leagues. But man, it starts with me at the rotation, Bart. That's the biggest question mark. I just don't like it being Woodruff and then a bunch of other guys who you're hoping to get wins out of.
Chris is in Oak Creek, 414-799-1250. What's up, Chris?
Buenos dias.
Oh, hi. What's
yeah,
up?
We all knew that the Brewers were going to have, you know, trouble trying to replicate or trying to, you know, substitute close to 50 home runs and 150 RBIs that Grandal and Moustakas took with them, you know, when they went to other teams. What I take umbrage with and something that everyone fails to mention is that buzz. And I'll explain the buzz. 2 years ago, I went to to the Brewers Fan Fest. And there was this buzz at the whole place about this kid. Who's this Keston Hiura? Who's this Keston Hiura? And there was this buzz about this kid, and everyone wanted to see him. Everyone wanted autographs and all this. And then when the kid came up, you know, he provided a healthy injection to our team, and everyone saw what Keston Hiura was all about. When I look around, I see that their farm system is their weakest point. They have no more buzz down in the minors. I look at other teams. You look at the White Sox. I mean, only real fans will know about Luis Robert. They can't wait for him to come up through the White Sox system. They can't wait for Wander Franco to come up through Tampa Bay. You know, Brewers have absolutely nothing down in the farm system after Keston Hiura came up. And, you know, they better pray to God that their pitching keeps them in games, because I honestly don't see them competing. And I agree with Bart, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. But is that really a bad thing if they can actually grab a good prospect in next year's draft? Have a good day, guys.
Who can you get excited about on this team? Hiura, I think, is going to take another step up. I'm curious to see how good he's going to be defensively.
Projections for him are all over the map. Some are very down. Some are very high.
The old sophomore slump?
Some are very down.
Yeah.
And if you have a bad season, I mean, sure, you might get a better pick in the draft, but again, in the MLB, you're not going to see that guy for 3 or 4 years. You know, you draft 8th.
Yeah.
you're not going to see him for a handful of years. One of the other things with this way of building a roster, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, 414-799-1250, is you need the players to buy in too. And you mentioned Zach Davies and Chase Anderson before. They didn't like what was going on. Four innings, they're pitching all right, pitching well in some games, and they're out because it's matchup time. And now with the expanded roster, you're going to have a 26-man. They're going to be able to do more things. You're almost going to be able to platoon everybody. You're going to see more defensive substitutions. You're going to see more all this kind of stuff. Even if the pitcher still has to pitch three batters, in the stupid rule, which that's going to be really hard to wrap my head around during games until we see it. But I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, matchups batting-wise, and you're going to see a lot of exploitation of that rule from the offensive end. The players have to buy into that, because if you want to play 162 games, nine innings a game, Milwaukee's not a team that's going to let you do that.
Well, I feel like
they've got to buy in as well.
Yeah, I feel like every time the last 2 years, every win was a grind. Every win. Look how many one-run victories they had, or games where they would score four or three runs to win a game. You know, their pitcher would go four or five innings in September, and they turn it over the bullpen and hoping that Hader is able to carry them through. And Burns gave them a big lift in 2018 out of that bullpen. And the rest of those guys. And this past year, too. I mean, there's not many blowout victories. There's all very close, hard-fought, low-scoring games that in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th innings, that bullpen was just dependent on to get big outs. And they got big outs. But, you know, it's a grind. This team, too, Bart, they're going to have to grind out every victory. And they're going to have to grind out every victory, man, to take every game by itself. You know, that one-day-at-a-time mentality never applied to anybody more than the Milwaukee Brewers the last couple of years.
I want some sleep this summer. You know, I wouldn't mind a 10-0 fourth-inning game. Like one way or the other.
We'll go the other way.
Because last year it was like the playoffs every single night.
Yeah.
And they manage it that way, too. I would like maybe a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Burgers, fries, and a slice of pie. You can get it all at Perkins. You can get the big breakfast burger. You can get the jalapeno popper burger, the barbecue tangler burger, the classic cheeseburger. You can get burger, fries, pie. A nice, delicious burger, a big, thick burger, too. These are not, you know, just slim patties that are thrown to you outside of a window. These are thick, juicy burgers with all the fixings, fries, slice of pie. $9.99 at Perkins. You get all that. One meal, $9.99. It is available for a limited time. It's available now, burgers, fries, and a slice of pie. I could go today, I think, if you guys want to go. Horvey, Frames, if you guys can go to.
No, I can't go today.
Perkins today? Oh, no.
I'm out.
Oh,
you
want to
line up a time for next week?
I got some stuff going on. I'll be gone. I'll be back tonight around 9 p.m., then back here at 3 a.m. It's one of those kind of days. No Perkins for me. Tomorrow would be awesome, though, Friday, right before I start drinking.
I got to go to a dentist. I got to go to the dentist tomorrow, so that's up for me tomorrow, too. But you want to set something up for next week? Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm in.
What time do you go to the dentist?
11 a.m. I got to cut out because I'm like my dentist. It's like limited amount of appointments.
Your dentist name is Crentist?
Limited amount of appointments.
So hard to get into the dentist or get into the doctor.
It is. Dentist, especially where I am. It's tough to get into the dentist. So I got this dentist appointment. I had to make it 3 months ago. I canceled, and then I had to make it. I couldn't get another appointment, so I'm like 3 months behind already.
Yeah, that's how it goes, the dentist, man.
So Horvat and I could go, but then he's going to pound beers after.
Yeah.
Oh, well, nothing wrong with breakfast and a little beers.
No, breakfast, that's what I do every Sunday. My boy's over at, what is it, Blue's Egg? Can't even think of the name of the place. But I go there, and they have beer mosas, which are awesome. Do a little spotted cow and some orange juice.
I'm still dry since the Super Bowl.
Jeez. I'm sorry.
I was really itching for a beer last night.
You were sweating your ass off Sunday night.
Get yourself some
gummies. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if you were sweating because you hadn't had the alcohol or sweating because it was whatever. The pressure of the Elam rule. I don't know.
How do you take 2 days off and not have a drink? What did you do the whole time?
Like what did I do?
Normal stuff?
I basically slept or was taking care of the kid.
Ugh. How do you take care of the kid without...
Yeah, I said, Bart, do you have a good, nice 2 days off? He said, no.
It's not like I'd win anywhere.
Those are the best days off.
Yeah.
Just sit on your couch.
The couch and relax.
Yeah, did you watch a little Big East
Hoops? Something you love doing.
Yeah.
No, I did watch Badgers-Purdue.
Oh, I'm
did
sorry.
You? Okay.
Out of all games that you watch, you picked that one?
The one time I ever watch a Badger game, it's when I... I have no way to talk about it the next day.
I think Harvey and I got a push on that game.
We did, yeah. We were hoping the Badgers would cover, but...
Although we will talk to Ben Wergel today, 9:30. We've got a lot coming up. John Horst. We talked to David Stearns earlier. We'll talk to John Horst, 8:45, GM of the Bucks, 8:45. 9 o'clock, Matt Velasquez then will join us, our Milwaukee basketball insider. Although I don't know how much more inside you get than John Horst, but... We'll talk to Matt Velasquez and Ben Wergel. We'll talk some Badgers with us, 9:30. All that and more. It's Chuck and Winkler. Hey, there's this idea that all these sports leagues want to give you more, more, more. Where's that coming from? Because it's not us. Chuck and Winkler. We'll hear from you guys next.
Bill Michaels, you are listening to Chuck and Winkler right here on The Fan. And make sure to check out me, The Bill Michaels Show, coming up this morning starting at 10. It is your home for real Wisconsin sports fans, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, John McAlpine with Janneking here. Do you want to be your own boss and work for your own future? Janneking has the opportunity that is affordable and offers full training, ongoing support from the company that has been around for 50 years. Go with the original cleaning franchisor. That's Janneking. No wink and promise. We deliver what we say we will do. So go with the best. Call 262-780-0300. That's 262-780-0300. Or visit us on the web at janneking.com. Janneking. The king of clean.
They had one day to the shortest month, and somehow that's a big deal?
You have something else in mind?
Or I'm not Gina Della from Pella.
I know that's right.
Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is making this month extra special by extending our most popular financing offers for an extra month. Take your choice of 10-year 2.99 APR or 18-month 0 APR to approve credit.
Talk about a 2020 vision.
But it ends February 29th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Rosa Nissan's President's Day sales event is going on now. There's never been a better time for you to upgrade to a brand new 2020 Nissan during Rosa Nissan's President's Day sales event. Save time and shop online at rosanissan.com.
Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen!
UW Credit Union is a proud sponsor of the Fans High School Team of the Week. UW Credit Union online and mobile banking keeps your finances at your fingertips, and their security keeps it out of reach for everyone else. Go to uwcu.org today to learn more.
Hear that? It's the sound of your favorite deal. Perkins Burger, Fries, and Pie Combo is back and better than ever. For a limited time, enjoy any Perkins Burger, crispy golden fries, and a slice of our famous pie for only $9.99. Try our new...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.